Hi from Club Rabble. In addition to being a collection of great writers with our pulse on what's happening in Canada's progressive communities, we throw quite a party. This music is from one of our fundraising events last June in Ottawa, where our loyal supporters had the opportunity to come out and show their support for Rabble. Rabble.ca doesn't have any corporate owner or sponsor. We have no major foundation support. We get zero government dollars. What we are proud of is to have community support and donors like you. To show your support for Rabble.ca, why not become a monthly donor? Go to rabble.ca/donate to sign up. Join us all at Club Rabble. We're a bunch of cool cats. Keep the music, and especially the words, flowing. rabble.ca/donate.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to the Rabble Book Lounge podcast, books worth listening to. Author Sonia Faruqi was an investment banker in New York when a chance vacation changed the course of her life completely. I recently spoke to her about her book, Project Animal Farm. It's a personal memoir about her experiences investigating animal agricultural practices. Using her own savings, Sonia traveled to different animal farms in 7 countries around the world. In Project Animal Farm, she makes the connection between industrial agricultural practices and global environmental degradation. Here's Sonia Faruqi.
I'm looking for a vacation. I'm looking for a rural vacation, and I think, oh, why don't I volunteer at an organic farm? It'll be fun. It'll be pastoral and picturesque. It'll be great. And then I show up there, and there's automatically a lot of tension between myself and the middle-aged couple I'm staying with, and I see that the animals are not treated as one would hope. The cows are chained to stalls, for instance, for 2/3 of the year, which readers and consumers and listeners would be surprised by, seeing that organic has a very different sort of image and reputation.
And then you decided to write the book?
It's a book that grew organically. I traveled around the world investigating animal farms toward the aim of benefiting animals and human health.
Mm-hmm. So I think animal rights issues are really, really difficult to cover. And part of it is it's hard to get into those places, farms or factory farms that most people couldn't really get past. And in your book, you seem to have this ability to kind of get into these places, like, for example, the chicken farm. Why do you think that is? How do you get through?
It's full of instances where I do get through, but I should also mention there were cases where I couldn't get through, and that's why those are not in the book. Although I do mention some of them where I had trouble and I was given funny reasons or excuses to not get in. I think I get through because partially being young and being a woman, both of these aspects are helpful. They make you non-threatening and more trustworthy, and that helped. Overall, I found that I had a strong connection with the people I was meeting, which was probably most of it. I really liked the farmers that I met. I often didn't like their factory farms because it's almost impossible to like them, but the people themselves I found to be warm and kind to me and genuine and fascinating. The Project Animal Farm are among the most fascinating people I've ever met. And I think my attitude toward them was clear. It was an attitude of friendship and interest and curiosity, which also helped me gain access in Project Animal Farm.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're developing relationships with the farmers, you still want to be honest about the conditions of their farms. How do you How do you balance that?
Sure. I realized early on that there's a dichotomy. There's the people are very nice as people, but their professional persona is very different than their friend's persona, than their family persona. I mean, in our lives, each of us plays multiple roles. We're mother, father, sister, brother, teacher, student, might have lots of other categorizations as well. Canadian or farmer or banker or any other thing. And this is, being a factory farmer is just one aspect of their personality, but it by no means necessarily defines who they are as human beings to their friends and their family outside of their farm. So I did view everybody and treat everybody as a three-dimensional person, not as a sort of flat character, someone who's good or evil or any of those sorts of things, which are, in a way, very easy, but also very harmful and generally untrue. So I was careful, I was sensitive in Project Animal Farm to people, to humanity, to human nature, to the different sides of each person.
Do you think they'll read the book, like some of the farmers?
Some of them. Well, in Chapter 6, there's stay at a large pastoral farm where the farmer, he's very supportive of the book. He came out to my Toronto book launch. And I'm visiting his farm in a couple of weeks. The agriculture industry is very divided. I found that constantly in different countries as well, Canada, the United States, and elsewhere. There are people who, farmers within the industry, who really want things to change and who are working on it. And there are others who are benefiting from the status quo and who don't want things to change, who don't want transparency or accountability. So I did meet all of the different kinds of farmers and went to all the different kinds of farms. And there are lots of people who, within the industry, I am expecting to be supportive of the book.
I guess just to go back to your previous answer about kind of this professional identity, how does, like, did you relate to that in a way with your work as an investment banker before?
That's a good question. So as an investment banker, it was sort of an extension of my personality at that time, which was I wanted to make money, like many people do. I wanted to succeed. I wanted to be perceived as a success as well. And so investment banking was a part of my persona at that time. And that said, I've always had, and all of us have, at least a dozen different parts to our personality, different roles that we're playing, and so did I, and still do. Those roles vary over time as well. So I suppose I did relate to the idea that there's a work persona and then there's a different sort of personal persona. We're displaying a different side of ourselves when we're with friends versus when we're with family versus when we're at school versus at work versus any other setting.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of my investigations, my observations, and my conversations, I became more open-minded, more culturally aware, and more emotional in a way, more in touch with my emotions, and more interested and curious about the world around us and how it can be made a better place.
What kind of changes do you hope the industry should make?
I divide solutions into two categories. One is producer solutions and one is consumer solutions, because both production and consumption are related. So the production solutions include things like passing regulations. Today, there is no legal difference in Canada between a pig and a table. Both have four legs and both are forms of property. and that's all there is to it. But that's not how it should be. It can and should be better. In Europe, for instance, animals are legally recognized as sentient beings, and animal welfare is on an equal footing with other societal principles like gender equality and healthcare and education. So that's just one solution. There are eight, including inspections, including accurate labeling, because there's a lot of fraud in labels today, which weakens the labels and reduces trust in the industry itself. Organic strengthening. Organic has good potential. It has not yet reached that potential. And let's shift also to consumer solutions, because I'm imagining most of the listeners of this podcast are regular people like us. So each of us can do something. In Project Animal Farm, I'm not saying that everyone should do everything, but everyone can do something. I was looking up the Canadian meat consumption numbers a few weeks ago, and they're shocking. I should not be shocked by them, but I am. We consume 255 pounds of meat. If you add in dairy, if you add in, for instance, milk, cheese, ice cream, it becomes over 300 pounds a year. And that becomes about 6 pounds a week per person, close to a pound a day of meat and animal products that are being consumed. And this is unhealthy, it's unsustainable, severely so, and it's inhumane, and it's also unnecessary. So I hope readers see that by changing their eating habits slightly or significantly, they can make a real difference. Each of us has power. I can change things. I can develop ideas, and I want to. We can change our eating habits and our life and our relationship to food and to animals and to the environment, and keeping them more in line with our values.
That was my interview with Sonia Faruqi about her new book, Project Animal Farm. And for those of you wondering whether her book took any inspiration from George Orwell's Animal Farm, Sonia says no, the book doesn't have a direct correlation. But she is a fan of his work. This has been the Rabble Book Lounge podcast, books worth listening to. I'm Roshi Nair. Thanks for tuning in.